Did you hear what he just said? The proper answer, the proper answer for you to answer is actually probably no. You know what I mean? You can say no to that one too if you want. Because if we got the depth of what he said this morning, I'm all done. Just this morning, my wife told me something right along those lines. We were talking about sowing and reaping. I don't have long, so I'm not going to go down that line. I'm supposed to stick with my topic. But there's something beautiful there. So next time the old flesh kicks, inside or outside, make your choice, okay? And it's a slimy fella. Really slimy. I'm not supposed to go down that line. Excuse me. These mics right here, you can't get away from. I guess you can. You just have to take them off, right? Well, I am delighted to be with you here this morning. Remember yesterday how we ended in our marathon yesterday? I'm going to run over into today just a little bit, but I'm going to try to squish it tight so I don't take too much of today. And one of the hearts of what I'm doing this morning is, again, do you remember what I put on the board here? That little three-column study? Some of the heart behind that is I have been in Bible studies, and I'm guessing you have too. And to some of us, the term Bible study is an exciting thing. And to some of us, tonight's a Bible study can be a little like, oh, we'll see how this goes. I've been in Bible studies that have been, they can be a little laborious. Is that the right way to say it? Do you know what I mean? Hey, none of you had that problem. Okay, I think a few of you have. I feel like group Bible studies should be an exciting thing. And so I put that illustration up yesterday to encourage you in one suggestion in ways to do group Bible studies. I want to give you one more here this morning, and we're going to do it just briefly, okay? Because, again, I want to stimulate the idea that with work, they should be an exciting thing, and I'm sure they are to you sometimes. So on this last page of yesterday's last session, we did the top illustration, 1, 2. If you see at the top, it says group Bible study suggestions. We did number 1 extremely briefly. It's difficult to do a very extensive group Bible study the way I did yesterday and not go for at least 45 minutes or an hour till you've come up with some points in each of those columns. Here's another one, number 2, if you see there. It says parable or story, and it doesn't have to be a parable or story, but this style works a little better with a parable or a story. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Genesis. Oh, where is it that we have Enoch? Is that Genesis 5? And I think sticks a little bit of a thing in Enoch. Genesis 5. We're just going to go verses 21 through 24. Genesis 5, Genesis 5, 21 through 24. Genesis 5, 21 through 24. And so if you look on this page, I'm not going to take the time to use all those aspects of stimulating questions in this little Bible study, but I'll just give you a short snapshot of another way. Yesterday was the three observation, interpretation, application, and this time we're going to do it a little bit differently. But again, just a little bit of a platform on ways it can be done. You can do it personally, but especially in a group. It's very stimulating. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Why don't we have one of you young men who's willing to stand up and read loud and clear, read Genesis 5, 21 through 24. Yep, thank you. Loud and clear. Actually, why don't you turn around, okay? We've got to have everyone hear it.
Walk with God, and he was not, for God took him.
Good, thank you. And if we have a longer one, what's very healthy is then to ask the question, now someone else stand up, everyone close your Bibles, and then retell it. I'm not telling you to, I'm just saying, if you have a longer one, everybody can close their Bibles, and then try to retell it. And we help each other, and we retell the parable or the story. But then I'm just going to ask a few questions. Give me the characters that you find in this study. Just list them off to me. Who are the characters? Enoch. Thank you. Enoch. I'm going to shorten things here. Methuselah and God. Any others? Sons and daughters. Anything else? So in these characters, let's just look at the first one here that was put up here, Enoch. What do you learn about Enoch? Just state some facts that we learn here about Enoch. And I'm sorry, I'm not looking at my list. This is just walked with God. Okay, some truth about Enoch. He walked with, and I realize most of you can't read this, sorry. Good, what else about Enoch? He lived 65? 365, yes. 65 then begat Methuselah, is that right? And then 300 more? So 365 years old. What else about Enoch? Was not. What's that mean? We all like that, right? He was not. God gave us this little bit of information, but not lots of information. And he was not. And then, yeah, I guess God took him, whatever that means. God took. Okay, what else about Enoch? Okay. Good. He had children. What else? Keep going. A little bit more about Enoch. Okay, he was 65. It's not wasted to write down all the facts. I'm going to skip that one, okay? I'm trying to keep this short, but that's good. Any more? I may not write them all down. He was 65. Just think about that a little bit. 65. How many people that you know are 65? He has Methuselah. And then lives another 300 years. 365. How many days are there in a year? That's unique, isn't it? 365. Okay, whatever. What else about Enoch? Nothing else. A little more. Father of Methuselah. Good. More truth. You keep thinking. It's amazing. You pull out more things. There probably is. I don't have it in my mind. Oh. Did he walk with God only after he begat Methuselah? What about before? Any indication? You think he walked with God before also? No indication? It says that, or you're saying that?
No, it says that.
Oh, give it to us.
Yeah, oh, no, sorry, it doesn't.
Oh. Okay, well, that's fine. We're not sure what happened before he begat Methuselah. Was there a change with Methuselah? I never thought of that before. Maybe. We don't have facts on that one, do we? Okay, let's move on. Instead of going here, I'm going to go to here. What do we learn about God? It's worthwhile to actually dig in and try to get all of these. What do we learn about God? I like that. Walks with people. Wow. Are you all amazed at that? Or is that so old hat that we just kind of get used to it? This God walks with people. Wow. And do we have any indication whether he liked it or not?
He needed Enoch.
How did he need Enoch? He took him. Oh. All done on earth. Some people have likened it unto the concept that, you know, God and Enoch kept getting closer and closer and closer. And in Enoch's walk one day, God just said, hey, we're close enough together. Just come on home, okay? Don't go back that way. Just stay here with me. That's made up, but who knows? Good. Okay, another aspect of God we learn. God needed Enoch. Needed. God wanted. God took. Yeah, we don't know where all that is, do we?
Can't put him in a box.
God or Enoch? God. Either one, a little bit, right? Okay. What do you mean by that?
He doesn't take people with
Uh-huh. That's right.
He wants people to walk with him.
I believe so too. He walks with people and wants people. Can we actually get that out of that one? We can't out of the scripture. I'm not doubting that fact at all, okay? But in that scripture, probably, right? I don't know. Any feeling in that scripture, you can get that out of that one? You think so? How's that?
The fact that he took him, I think, would indicate that he enjoyed that he was wanting it so badly.
All right, Enoch. We got to stay together here. Maybe so. Okay? What else about God? Go a little broader here. What can we learn about God in this short little story passage?
He finds those that have perfect hearts.
He finds those that have perfect hearts. Can I shorten that here and say finds? I guess I should use the perfect part because you're pulling from 2 Chronicles. Finds perfect. Take that that was you, Levi, right? Meant it. Finds those perfect people. Be therefore perfect, even as your heaven Father in heaven is perfect. Good. God loves those kind of people. What else about God? Just a little bit more here. We'll. Yeah. Wants people right along there. Longs for fellowship. Oh, that's right. Okay, there's a principle. We don't always go in the same box. That was a little bit pun, wasn't it? Punny. Don't always go in a box 6 feet under. Don't always go in the same box. Sorry, I had to note my own. I accidentally came out. That's right. But what did you say again? Here, I distracted. What did you say again?
That he takes home those.
Thank you. Takes home his people. Good. He loves to take home his people. Good. Okay. Well, how can we apply any of this? What'd you learn from this? And if you remember last time, I pushed for application. And we didn't actually get very far, and I gave up because I needed to sit down. Remember? In a smaller group, you have to keep pushing for it. Two things happen when you can get people past the theory and get application. Two things happen. One is, if someone dares to open up, it helps open other people up. You know what I'm saying? So again, I'm not expecting you to get terribly personal in this large of a group. One, I think it was a young lady, told me yesterday, if you'd have pushed one more time, I actually would have been practical. But it was pretty hard. She shared it yesterday. It touched her real life, that practical application that she almost said. That's what needs to happen when you're in, again, not a 300-person group, but or 200, whatever we are here, but in a whatever group. And when you get practical, it opens others up, and then it helps begin to change our lives. So anyway, little application here. What we learned from Enoch a little bit, some principles, and who God is, what's it mean to me in my life? An unconditional walk with God is absolutely necessary. So in my chart, you have interpretation, observation, interpretation, application. Remember those 3 points? To me, what you did, brother, was excellent, but you actually only moved to observation. And I'm picking on you. Have mercy on me here, okay? And you can have all kinds of mercy. I have all kinds for you because you did excellent. Didn't expect anything else. But you only moved here. You actually didn't get to that application yet. I agree. I can't say it as eloquently as you did, but a committed life to following God is absolutely necessary. But what's that mean to me? How am I supposed to apply that?
I need to get up in the morning.
Okay, there's a practical application. Did you get that?
Not in here.
He said, I need to get up in the morning. And maybe he even needs to continue on and say, at 5:30. Right? And I'm not picking on you, brother. Do you see how he actually got to something that's going to affect him? Right? Okay. So maybe you go ahead and write that sentence down. Sorry, I forget who said that. I can't always connect with you in your eyes. Again, there we go. Maybe you need to write that sentence down. Maybe you already have. And then even put an at 6:30. Sorry, I'm not pushing for anything. You have to make your own decisions. One brother came to me yesterday and said, How do you put in figure sleep and prayer time and all this? And I told him, listen, God gave us all 24 hours. And he said, it's good and that's enough. And I believe we're supposed to get enough sleep. I don't think we're supposed to. It's so spiritual to not get enough and drag ourselves through life. No, that's not spirituality. But laziness, more than you need, I'm not pushing for that at all. But there's enough time to get enough sleep and enough prayer and enough whatever we're supposed to. There is enough time. God give you wisdom to figure it out. What do we learn from this? Thank you. Good application. Someone else. And don't be afraid if you say something and I say, I think you're still in interpretation. That's okay. I'm trying to make a point, okay? Didn't mean you made a mistake.
I think we need to, for myself, maybe change our view of God.
Mm-hmm.
And think, ponder who God really is.
Excellent.
And maybe study how he works with people.
Yep. You need to change your view of God. And how are you going to do that? One suggestion was study how he works with people. Okay, so real practically, all right, this next month, I'd like to study Daniel. He's been lifted up a couple times here. And I'm going to use the biographical sketch here, or I'm going to email Mick and get the full copy, and I'm going to print it out, and I'm going to work through the biographical sketch of Daniel, saying, God, how do you work with people? I got really practical. Do you get it? I need to move on. Okay. So I do this for a couple of reasons. One, to encourage another way to do Bible study in a group setting. You can do it as yourself too, but take a parable of Jesus. This one works really well. Look for the people. Look for the attributes you can learn. And I have a bunch of other questions there, but the principle is you're centering out around people and God, trying to learn what you can learn from God and people. Okay, that was a conclusion of yesterday. Now we're starting today. Suggestions for meditation. I am going to put four words up here. I have emphasized. Oops, I got my R. Worship. Prayer. Things that we have talked about the past few days. The Word. And I put here meditation. Maybe we'll just go ahead and take all this off. It's not so distracting. So, do you remember me talking about this? Give me a head nod. Remember that? We talked about worship, I think, the first day. Mary Magdalene, the beauty of worship. I wish I could have had a whole session on worship. There's something beautiful there when you marvel at God. Talked about prayer the next day. And the Word yesterday, and today we're going to talk about meditation. And the reality is, all of these words that I just put up here have a tremendous amount of overlap. You know what I'm saying? They have a lot of overlap. And so I am dissecting and talking about one, not because it's totally separate. They actually have tremendous overlap, and in one sense can almost all be the same thing. But they all affect a little bit differently. So, if you will, open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. First Timothy chapter 4. Can we just stop and pray? I'm trying to shift gears in my own mind here a little bit. Can we do that? Let's just bow our heads. Close our eyes. Come before the God of heaven. Father, we stop, turn our minds and our hearts to you the best we can. Would you bring the realities, the blessing, and the power of this little truth that the world is stealing and making a wreck of, but you were the originator and showed us a deep principle. of meditation and meditating on you and your word and truth. So anyway, would you bless us and bless these dear young people here this morning? Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 says, "These things command and teach." Here's the Apostle Paul. Excuse me. The Apostle Paul giving Timothy some direction. "Till I come," verse 13, "give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." 14, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Verse 15, "Meditate on these things and give thyself wholly to them," completely to them, "that thy profiting may appear unto all." Timothy, give yourself to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Don't neglect the gift that's in you. And Timothy, meditate on these things. These things you read, these things that you will be exhorting, this doctrine, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Meditation, if you see in the little box down there, don't forget this. The world's meditation is empty your mind. I don't know a whole lot about what the world talks about in meditation, but I want at the very beginning make it very clear, it's actually opposite. And my father said years ago, and he probably got it from someone else, something I haven't forgotten, the devil doesn't create. He only takes what God created and twists it. That's a unique thought. So something you find the enemy doing, dig and you'll find the origin. There's something beautiful about what the enemy is twisting and making a wreck. And meditation is one of those. So maybe it's not as much in Kentucky. In my area in Vermont, yoga, and I don't know all the terms, you'll see these signs out, and meditation is kind of a big thing. Relax and all these things. But to me, the core of what they're doing is of the enemy, and it's completely taking God's principle and turning it upside down. Because what they say is empty your mind. You know what that does? It opens it for the enemy. But true meditation, godly meditation, do you know what it is? Fill your mind. Fill it full with God, God's word, God's perspective. Totally opposite. You see that? So just make sure you understand that's clear. Don't, and I know sometimes words that the world uses and the enemy uses, sometimes we can shiver at them, but I'm coming and I'm saying, listen, this is God's word. The enemy is trying to hijack it, so I'm going to go ahead and use it unashamedly. But don't think it's like the world, okay? Come back to the origin of what it is. Meditate on these things, Timothy. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Can you see three different things there? There's meditating. There's something about giving yourself wholly and completely. Someone said that here, and we were talking about Enoch. And I think Enoch was meditating as he walked with God. I think that's an example, probably, of true meditation. And then there will be fruit that comes on the outside. Do you see that? There's a concept there. Meditating, giving thyself wholly, and a fruit that comes on the outside. Two aspects I'm going to divide here. I want us just to think about meditation two different ways. Number one, I'm calling focused meditation. Okay? Specific, focused, closet time where you accomplish nothing else. There's a focused meditation. Turn with me to just two scriptures. We'll do Psalm 63 and Psalm 119. Just two in Psalms. David, I guess I didn't look to see if these Psalms were actually... Well, 119, but 63 is. What's it say? A Psalm of David, sure enough. Psalm 63, verse 6. "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." Let's go back up here. Verse 4, it says when. I shouldn't have started there. Verse 4 of chapter 63. "Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." Here's David yearning for God and worshiping God, and he's lifting up his hands. Verse 5. "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness." As he lifts up his hands and blesses the Lord, there's satisfying marrow. As he worships, note, there's blessing that comes to him. "And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." When? I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Two things. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and can't sleep? I do. In fact, I had it last night. It wasn't terribly long, but wake up and meditating upon your bed. That is a wonderful time to learn and practice meditation. Fill your mind. And that is focused meditation. You're not accomplishing anything else. Your mind is all consumed with this one thing, and that's why I'm calling it focused meditation. Then he also says, in the night watches. Do you know what the night watches was? What that comes from? Third hour of the night, sixth hour of the night, the all those concepts. It's talking about time, and they had watches at times where people would be up. If you're watching, soldiers would be up, and you're supposed to watch the camp from this hour to this hour. And he's in the first hour, the second hour, the third hour. And so there are watches where you're awake during the night as a soldier watching over whatever you're supposed to be watching over. How long since you've been up in a watch of the night meditating? Meditating. How long has that been? And I just ask it just to stimulate us. That's a beautiful thing to do occasionally. Remember what I just said about sleep. It's not spiritual to deprive yourself of sleep and walk around only half there. But it is healthy to deprive yourself of sleep sometimes and say, it's time for a night watch. That's healthy. I don't know if any of you have ever done this, but set your watch for a certain time every night. If you're the kind that can't go back to sleep, it makes this difficult. But if you're the kind that can, and so at midnight, it just goes off. And you simply turn it off. You wake up. It's midnight. You simply turn it off and say, okay, God, that's a reminder. I am whatever it is in your heart and life you're praying for, you're meditating on. To me, I get that picture of David. It's a night watch. He's purposefully awake in the middle of the night to meditate and fill himself with thoughts of God, his word, or decisions he needs to make in life or whatever. But it's focused meditation centered around God and his principles. I am taking too long. but let's go to 119:48, just a few pages over. 119:48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I love to lift up my hands unto thy commandments. A man who's given a command and then he lifts up his hands, to me there's an amen. I love it. I believe it. And then the verse goes on and says, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Let's go on. Number two, an aspect of meditation. This is now not a focused meditation where you're in the closet doing nothing else, but this is a constant meditation, a mind that is stayed on God all day long, even through the busy times. Do you have that figured out, how to do that? Neither do I, but I'm working on it. And it's beautiful when you begin to learn more and more this concept. Psalms, we all know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1 here, okay? Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Is that focused meditation or is that constant meditation? Do you see that? That's day and night. And I don't think, no, I skipped the thing. God doesn't want us to stay in our closet 24/7 or lay in bed and do night watches 24/7. We all understand that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, right? This is a constant meditation, day and night. He tells Joshua the same thing. We know that principle. There's something of a mind stayed upon him that is meditating day and night. And that's what I'm calling constant meditation. And here's an illustration. I know you've probably all heard this. I think it's good. Picture the heavens, and there's God, and you have a rubber band, and it's attached there. But you stretch it down here to earth, and you live on earth. But what happens to this rubber band when you release it? What happens? Right? So, to figure out where your rubber band is attached, where does it go when it's released? Don't you find out where your rubber band's attached? You know what I'm saying? Mine, sometimes, it depends on what's happening in life. It'll go back to that customer that's kind of grouchy. I'm trying to figure out how to please the customer. Okay? That'll happen if there's pressure put on. It'll go to an issue with whether it's a relationship, my family, or at the church. That's not all wrong, but does it go back with this little grumble or this little whatever, or does it go back with a rest? God, what do I do about this issue? Do you see what I'm saying? Where's that rubber band attached? And some of us, no, I don't know the theology all right here, okay, so forgive me if I don't say it right. But in general, we're born with it attached down here on earth to very earthly things, and we stretch it up. And so here we are. We're sitting in Bible boot camp, and it's being stretched up, right? And you're enjoying it. I'm not saying you're whatever, but if it's still attached down here, we're stretching it up. And then you'll see next week and the next what happens. Is it going to stay with some attachment here? Or does it go right back down? Anyway, little illustration on, and it goes broader than just meditating, but I love the illustration and to challenge my own concept. See the little fellow there smiling at you? The little illustration. I'm trying to, again, some of you help me if you don't feel this represents other things in a balanced way, but I feel like this helps me understand meditation a little bit. To me, meditation, you see to the, I guess it depends on which side you're looking at this little fellow, but on the left of the page, it says mind in a box, then down to heart, and then down to life. There's something about the mind when it's taught and lives and believes in meditation that helps take things in your mind and put them down into a deep heart burden or conviction. When you spend time on something, thinking, processing, moves it from the mind in this little happy little fella down to where I'm saying is his heart. Then when there's a deep heart burden, it can then be it carries the power or the ability to become a changed life. And then you have, but application that I was pushing earlier moves it from just mind, heart, to an actual life coming out. So do you see that little illustration? See all the words in it? Does it make decent sense? I don't have to spend so long on that. Use meditation and realize this is one of the ways to take something that you heard this week and say, I actually think that's true, but I want it to come out in my life. I'm saying one practical application is meditation and learning to do it God's way. Constant meditation and focused meditation. And so you'll take a concept, and I would encourage you, if you wanted to, the end of this session, I'll try to give you time, or the end of even the whole week, and you sit down and say, what are some principles I heard in my head? I'd like to move them to my heart, ultimately come out in my life, and write three or four of them down. And then begin, put them somewhere, begin to meditate on them. And as you'll see later, one of the beginning ways, to meditate is, many times it starts with a focused meditation. You don't usually move to a constant meditation without exercise in a focused meditation. And so you're going to take this principle or this concept, if you would pull four of them out of this week, or three, whatever, don't make it too high, and you'd write them down. Then you would say, okay, God, these are three things that I'd like to see worked out in my life. I'd like to see them move from just a thought that came into my head from this boot camp. I'd like to move them to a conviction, a burden deep in my heart that's seated in there. And then ultimately so that they come out in my life and produce a life that glorifies God in this aspect. Again, here's step one. Can I do that? Meditation. Take this concept, whatever it is, and begin to chew on it. Proverbs 23:7. Do you see some of these verses here? I wish, I'm jumping back up to the smiley man down there. This application arrow, I thought about, and I didn't because I already have one in here that I'm not even going to get to. But I thought about doing suggestions for application because there's a concept here of actually, you know how hard I had to push? And don't feel badly, I'm just saying it's common. You know how hard I had to push to get an actual, everyday, tangible application out of you? It's amazing how hard it is for us to get them out of ourselves. And so there's a concept here that I think is healthy when you live a life that's looking for tangible, practical applications and you begin putting little ones into place in your life. Little here, little there, little here, a little there. And so there's this concept that we're not going to look at. I just gave you a little snapshot on. And that's that second arrow down there. But back up to the one we're supposed to be focusing on, meditation. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And I realize it says in his heart, not just in his mind. You all know that I have it back here in the back. Some of the quotes, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an act, action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. You all have probably heard that. Excuse me. I realize Proverbs says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, it doesn't just say mind. Things can fly through your mind. And that doesn't make you who you are. But as you think in your heart, you want to move this from a thought in the mind. Meditation will help churn it in your mind and will move it into a conviction. Romans 12, verse 2. I'm going to have to do verse 1 so I can get to verse 2. And now that won't come. Somebody help me. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, this is verse 1, not the verse we have here, verse 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable. That's just reasonable. That's your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, changed. You know what transformers do with electricity? A few of you electricians here. It changes the electrical current, right? Be ye transformed. How? Someone say it. By the? And again, there's a deep concept here. We're not going to get to the depth of it. But one thing you do is you take this mind and you learn to renew it. Make it alive. And you're going to say, that thought, that idea, that concept doesn't lead to where we want. This thought, this concept, this idea, yeah, that. And we renew our mind and take the right concept and we renew it and we renew it and we renew it. And we're transformed. And I realize there's a deeper principle that I'm touching just right now. But this is one aspect of it. A renewing of our mind. We know Philippians 4, whatsoever things are true, honest. And I'm just looking up here right underneath suggestions for meditation. I have that verse. True, honest, pure, lovely, good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, these things. And as you think on these things, it does renew. Be renewed, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says, in the spirit of your mind. Colossians, I love this one. Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ. Okay, who's dead and who's risen here? Are you risen with Christ? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Do you get that? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your
affections.
What's affections? What's that mean? What's your love? That's right. This and Strong says mind. Sometimes it's translated mind, will, emotions, that whole package there. Set your affection, and again, you'll find that sometimes mind. Set your mind and your affections on things above. Now to one time set your mind on something of God, does that make you done? Got that fixed. No? But you said it. And after you said it, then what do you do next? Set it again. Keep it there, sure. Mine will wander off. And you know what I'm going to do again? Set it there. And after I've set it there, do you know what's going to happen? It's going to wander off. Thank you. And then after it wanders off, do you know what you're going to do? And then what's going to happen? And then after that, what should you do? You get the point, right? Okay? Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Now, a place for a little application would be to say, things above, things of this earth. Give me a practical list of things above. Just a few, real quick. Treasure in heaven. Okay, good. Do you know what you just did? You did that middle column. Not this column over here I'm looking for. Do you get what I'm saying? All right. Read your Bible. Sure. That's a safe one. What's that? Giving to the poor. Share the gospel with someone. Souls of men. Encourage a brother. Memorization. What's that? Singing. Okay. I need to wash the dishes. And I know it's fun to wash dishes if I'm doing it with other people or if others see me, but what about doing the dishes when no one knows? Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm choosing to say, no, I'm going to value this the way God values this. Okay, we could keep going. What about our things of the earth that we shouldn't set our affections on? Just a few of those. You did good over here, and when you wing it, it may not be balanced, so have mercy on me. But over here. Money. Trucks.
Work.
Snowmobile. Huh? I'm sorry, I still didn't get it because we got someone talking at the same time. Hold off on the back a minute.
Clothing.
All right.
I'm sorry,
I didn't hear that. Okay, sorry, I missed it. I'm out of the loop there. Hunting, sure. Some of you got it. Thank you.
Self-focus.
Okay. Over here, just a couple of them. A couple more. We had a couple, but no. I'm sorry?
Hobbies.
Reputation. One more over here. Who's going to be brave? Pride. Yeah. Reputation, pride. We got another one too.
Beauty.
Thank you. Okay. Are all these things we listed over here sinful? No. Actually, I don't think any of them are of themselves. Sorry if I missed one, forgive me, but I don't think they were. But they're things of the earth. Do we need to use these things of the earth and think about them sometimes? Do we?
Yes.
In fact, should we?
Yes.
But we've got to think about them properly and rightly. Are these things to grab our affections? Mm-mm. Are these things to grab our affections?
Yes.
This was supposed to be an illustrative verse, not a verse that you center your message around. Do you see, young men, I get distracted, don't I? But if you take this and you realize, all right, Lord, these need to be done. In fact, if you don't do some of these things, it's not godly. Did you know that?
No.
You can't not think about your clothes. You can't not, you know, so there's a few of these that you have to. But do you know where your affections and your mind and your heart and your thoughts should be? God, how does this affect you and your kingdom? How does this make you happy? How are you glorified? How does this guard my heart? And so you're going to set your affections and your mind and with your will, and as you do it over and over and over again, do you know what you're doing? You're pulling your mind back and your heart back, and you're going to say, I'm going to think on these things. I'm going to meditate on these things. I'm going to set my affection on these things. I am going to jump over this. Meditation is the concept, can be used as a concept in the second graph. I'm going to just move on. Examples of meditating. Adam and Eve at the beginning, do you know what they were doing? Talking with God. They were walking with God. I don't know what it looked like. But I think there was something of that. God came every day, and there was some connecting with Him, and they were meditating on Him. And so there's some examples. I'm going to give you some practical suggestions, and I'm sorry, technically, there's only one practical suggestion here. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them, so you're going to have to find a spot down here at the blank spot on your paper for you young men, and some of you young ladies are taking prolific notes, so you can write them wherever you want. But so I want us to, the first one here is practical suggestions for focused meditation. And if you'll remember, I said it all kind of, these things all flow together. You'll find them flowing together right here. Here's a very practical suggestion. The one in your booklet is just one. But I want you to get this concept. It's a beautiful way to practice focused meditation. And remember, the enemy's meditation is what? Empty your mind. God's meditation is? So, focused meditation. What do I have there? Open the Word of God, and I say, get on your knees. You don't have to, but I find blessing in postures. When you are worshiping, you just won't find someone, okay, forgive me here, but you just won't find someone, you know, just worshiping God. You know, what do you think? Are my actions and my body posture, this is just really worshiping God? Does that go together? Oh, sorry, it almost makes a chill go up and down me to do that. It doesn't work. And so I think our body posture helps us, our mood, our mode, our whatever. And so on your knees, or a humble, whether it's a bowing your head, or it's a lifting up your hands, and it's a looking up, there's something of worship that happens. Open your Bible. What do I say here? On your knees. And then I have here just one suggestion for focused meditation. Read it. And maybe even more than once. If you're taking the time here, I did for you yesterday a little bit, the prayer with the word. This overlaps a bit. It's some of that concept. But here with meditation, you're going to take time. And so I open my Bible here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Yes, God. And so you open it and you're going to meditate on this. I'm not just going to say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that let his mercy endure forever. Let him that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord, and in my distress the Lord answered me, set me in a large place. I read the Bible like that sometimes. I do. But that's not meditation. What I mean? Okay? So I do that. I think it's healthy to read the Bible in a year and all those things, and sometimes you've got to just keep on the move. Meditation says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. He's good. Lord, thank you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And list some things you're thankful for. For he's good. There is nothing that you can say is good all the way through except God and what God does. Did you know that? That's it. God is good. Good is God. All something that's truly good, it's of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And you just think about it. So, do you know what that means? Now I'm getting a little carried away in my meditation, so you have to watch your mind sometimes how far. But I'm going to let it get carried away, because I think this is a big truth. I'm deviating, but it's good. You try to get it. If you believe God is good all the way through, do you know what one of the stupidest things you can do is? Not surrender. If you actually believe he's good all the way through, then anything less than full surrender to him is saying, I'd like a little bit of badness. Does that make any sense to you? Us poor humans, we're kind of thick-skulled, aren't we? It's very simple. Anyway, back here to meditation. So I'm meditating for you on the scripture. And then you can jump. Say it slowly, even out loud. Ask about it. What does it say? What does it mean to my life? How does it apply to my life tomorrow, today? And you just take this. You could also take the word, emphasize it. Each word, group of words, then a phrase, each word individually, thinking about what each one means. And I'm just going to keep moving here for the sake of time. You can personalize it and change the words to I, me, my, our, us, we. Mickey, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And I guess this doesn't have very many pronouns here. Let the house of Aaron, let the house of Mickey now say. You know, sometimes, especially you get into the epistles, if you personalize that, sometimes it brings it alive. And you just chew on the word in focused meditation. You can chew on the word. I'm gonna move on here. Point number two in focused meditation. Spend time meditating on God. The other morning, I got up, went out to my office. And it's not uncommon for me, and I have to be careful. You have to watch this. But I'll frequently sit down and just sit down. And my mind starts going, okay, Lord, it's Tuesday morning. What's going to happen today? What am I going to do today? What am I going to try to accomplish today? I don't remember, you know, and just process. What about this person? And what about that situation? And I'm processing and want to lift it before God. But one of the things that happened was I got a beautiful sunrise that morning. Can't remember what morning it was, but it was just beautiful. And so I just took the time to meditate and marvel at God and worship God and fill my mind with thoughts of Him. So my number two, the first one is this whole practical suggestions for meditation. Number two is meditate on God. Do that. I already talked about it a little bit with worship. And take something that He's created or a beauty of one of His attributes. Just stop and direct your mind a little bit on God is knows everything. Okay? Brother Levi, you mentioned that the other day. His all knowledge. And try to just fathom that a little bit. And think about dictionaries and think about encyclopedias. And think about scientists that have studied for years and years. And whatever you want to do. This God, He knew it all. And in day one and two, He created it. And three and four and five and six. And this is the kind of God that you're worshiping. And meditate on God. I already referred to this, but number three. If it's evening, think over your past day. Lord, how did today go? How did it fit into your plan? What were my motives? What were my thoughts? What was beautiful? What was not? How did the day go? Did it fit in? Did I use today and set my affections on things above? And what you're doing is you're meditating and you're processing your day before God. You can have the Word open. Where are we? Number four. At the beginning of the day, that was the end of the day, think over your past day. At the beginning of the day, think about your day ahead and pray over it. Think about it. So I'm going to do this, Lord. How could I do this in a wrong way? How could I do this in a right way? And you process your day. You're meditating. And you're taking the principles of God, the Word of God, your practical life, and it allowing God to form those things. You're trying to take just thoughts that pass through and move them to a deep conviction that affects your life. Think over your choices. Choices that you have made in life and the choices you're going to make in life. Young people, all your choices are determining your end. Did you get that? Proper answer is probably no. And I'm not trying to be negative on you. Me too. My choices are determining. We say we want this, and then we keep making choices that are headed this way. But I want this, and we keep making choices that, that doesn't work, right? Meditation will say, all right, Lord, what choices am I making? You'll stop. Take the time to ponder them in light of God's Word, in light of God's principles. Process your dreams. These are practical suggestions for focused meditation. And remember, meditation is a discipline learned with exercise. This mind wants to just go wandering, and it's going to take time to bring it back. And don't spend time repenting long. You know, I've had it. I'm in the morning and I'm trying to pray or meditate and you realize, oops, my mind was over here. So then you come and you begin to repent. God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have. But before you even get back into it, your mind's wandering again. None of you ever that unspiritual? So I'm going to say, don't spend long repenting. Oh, back here, Lord. And then go on. Do you know what I'm saying? Just bring it back and move on. Practical suggestions for constant meditation. Begin your day with focused meditation. Don't have to be so simple as to say it. We do, right? We have to remind each other. Start it with time with God and a focused God. Direct my mind here today. Number two, take a paper or card with a scripture or prayer and stick it in your pocket. There's a suggestion for you. And you stick it in your pocket, and so as you go through your day, you're going to get reminded every now and then. You're going to pull this out, and here's the scripture for the day, and so you chew on it. Or it's a prayer request, or it's a whatever. There's just little simple reminders. Number three, set the beep on your watch or your phone or whatever for every hour. And whenever it beeps, oh, today it's that issue. Maybe it's one of the three that you're going to write down at the end of today or the end of boot camp here. That issue, Lord. And if it beeps every hour you're reminded again. And it'll help just bring your mind back. And what you're wanting to do is take that thought, that prayer, and you're forming your concept about it. And you know what will happen? It'll slowly move it down into a heart conviction with time and meditation. And then there's potential with application for it to come out in your life. Number four, have a song of the day or a person to pray for of the day or a whatever of the day. That's a healthy exercise. This is my day for so-and-so, whether it's one of your siblings, whether it's one of your whatever. And just remember, whenever you have a little bit of slot or there's that beep or there's the chime of the clock or the whatever, oh, just use those little reminders and bring your mind back. What do I say here? Number five, while traveling, use singing, audio Bible, sermons. Traveling is a really good time when your mind can do lots of things. And use that time. I had a little bit of time where I actually traveled for 25 minutes to work and back. And during that time in my life, because of all that was going on, those 25 minutes going and those 25 minutes coming back were my favorite times in the whole day. I just loved it. I couldn't wait to hop in my car because I knew what was going on. And I knew I could turn my mind and my heart, or there was a sermon series I'm going through, picking away at. It thrilled me. It renewed me. It revived me. And those were my favorite 25, which I got two of them, so there was 50 minutes of the day. Paste your papers where you work, in the restroom, front of the kitchen where you sing. Well, there was one brother, he was asked one time, how do you memorize so much scripture? And he actually lived in Africa, and he says, well, we spend a lot of time in the restroom with stomach troubles. And in the restroom there, we have a paper pasted with a scripture, and we're all working through it. And we spend more time in there than you do. Simple things like that. It's amazing what can be done. My wife put a little scripture on the side. My daughter's not here to hear this. It'd be my older one. And she put a scripture there, and my boys could probably all sing that scripture because she made up a tune as she was sitting, as she would wash dishes, whatever. And she made up this little tune, and she's singing through this Isaiah scripture just made up. And she sang it so much, it actually irritated the boys a little bit. So we had to work on that. But when you put things in front of you, do you know what happens? We were talking with my family the other day, and I'm supposed to be done, and there's a plaque on the bathroom wall in our bathroom when I was a boy, and I said one day, I said, hey, do you know what all that plaque said? And they all grinned and smiled, and we could quote what that plaque said. And it was just there for a few years. Anyway, do those things. It puts things in you. And then I say, ask God for a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. I'm sure there could be many, many more that could be put down here as suggestions. But young people, as you learn to meditate, it is a powerful tool. If you heard something this week or whenever and you want it to come out in your life, one of the steps, I believe, is renewing of your mind. Meditation, chewing on it, praying over it, studying the Word over it, talking with others about it, and it puts it in your mind and you're meditating and you're chewing and it helps move it down to a conviction. Little boys and little girls do this automatically. If daddy has a John Deere, do you know what's the best tractor? And do you know what they talk about? And do you know what they learn about? It just makes it a conviction. And someday, there's a tendency in some of us, even we're 40, whatever, John Deere's still a good tractor. That seems really, really trite, but it affects us. And I know we change, but there's a concept there. Use this beautiful concept. Lord, bless these dear young people. Thank you for the principles in your word. Help us to use this meditation principle that you created and allow it to change our lives. Focused meditation and constant meditation. Bless them, Lord. Make us an army, a faithful portion of your historic train of godly people. Amen. 2 minutes of quiet. Write something down. What are you thinking about?